Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we're going to have kind of an interesting conversation. Let me go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy Froth. Amy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. Oh, dang, there's an echo in here.
Because you're such a good segue girl. We're going to be talking tonight about the echo of our beliefs and the key to stop sabotaging what we really want in life. And over vacation break, which, gosh, it just didn't seem like way too long. Anyway, we were gone for a couple weeks there, enjoying the holidays and visiting each other and just having a great time. I was really looking at different ways of looking at, you know, instead of New Year's resolutions, looking at New Year's solutions and some of the new conversations that are out there, you know, how we're looking at our power beliefs and things that go on that. And one thing that I learned over the break was that, you know, we've got ways of looking at things that actually sabotage us, and I heard someone talk about it as an echo, and I thought that was such a great way of having that come in. So basically what we're talking about is there's ways of changing. You know, you make a decision that you're going to change, and then the universe basically will start reminding you of the way you've always done things, and that reminder we're referring to as an echo, something that we've done in the past. And more than not, it's usually something that sabotages us because it reminds us of, you know, if you make too much change, then you're not going to be, you know, gosh, that could be scary, or you're not going to feel good about it, or you're not going to be accepted. All these different things start, you know, coming back to you of ways that you've looked at it in the past from there, but it's also something that can really stop us in our tracks. And when I was visiting Amy over this last break, and we wound up sharing it with a few people, and everybody just resonated with so well. So I'd love for you to jump in here, Amy, with any of this stuff. We're going to actually talk about that and then some of the aspects of being lazy. You know, there's a laziness that can come with that. You know, like, how can laziness be involved in that? We'll get into that and just some of the tools and some of the new ways of being able to move forward from that I'm really excited about. So what are your thoughts about, you know, this whole idea of an echo of our beliefs?
Well, I find it interesting. You had sent me a video, and I purposely only listened to a couple of minutes because I really wanted to, you know, have a dialogue with you and have you kind of share with me, and I'd love to have our audience, you know, listen to that too. So you can put the link for that up there for them so they can be part of the conversation. I don't know what this has to do with anything, but what flashed for me is I know that you're focused on feng shui a lot of times in the work that you do and, you know, in the flower shop and just in life in general. And something that just flashed for me that when you start changing things, is there a number they change, or if you just change one thing, everything else starts changing?
Usually in the traditions of feng shui, you say you move 26 things.
26 things.
You change 26 things, and it's pretty much a guarantee that your life is going to change. Yeah.
So that's kind of that kind of feels like an echo to me, and I don't know why that's coming to me right now. But this whole changing 20, and interestingly enough, I found myself today doing some of that with going through things. You had come over, and you do such a great job of decorating for Christmas. I will never do that myself again because you're an expert at it. So you came in and took down the lovely decorations, and it felt like there was a vacuum. And so then there was a space for putting things back. And so I just went through a whole lot of stuff today and moved things around. So moved at least 26 things. So I feel like there's going to be an echo of change because when you move one thing, it creates a void for another, which creates a void for another.
Well, in saying a void, some people would say, oh, that sounds terrible. But actually, it can create a spaciousness. So something new can come in.
And that's kind of what we talk about with feng shui. So I think that's really great that you're bringing up feng shui, because it's really what we're talking about too. And we could come from a different direction and talk about it decluttering. You know, so in decluttering, you know, that's that echo, that chatter of things in our life that has been going on. And how can I create a spaciousness? You know, when it comes to feng shui, I went on from that to learn Ikebana, which is the Japanese floral arranging. And one of the traditional things that they do in one of the first basic teachings they have is they call it a house, where basically, you know, it's a triangle. But within that triangle, there's a spaciousness that is encouraged to be created, so that basically, you know, things can come in and be able to move and change with the chi, you know, the energy, and have it be something that can be, you know, for an opportunity for wellness and just positivity to come into your life and in the environment, having that being created. So that's an interesting aspect that I hadn't really considered. So thank you for that. I think that's really, really awesome about the feng shui stuff. So, you know, we had been talking about this with a couple of your friends while we were visiting. And one of the parts of the conversation that went to that really made a lot of sense to me was we talked about laziness. And we were like, gosh, how can they be lazy? But when you think about even somebody who's a workaholic or really super busy, that can be their thing that they go to when it comes to a sense of like always going to that answer, always going to that direction when you think that's going to be a way of being able to solve the problem or have it be the solution or something, instead of really being spacious, like we're talking about, and kind of decluttering the ways I used to think about things and letting something totally new come in, or being available and being open to something else. So go ahead, Ian.
Well, it almost feels like what the creativity is, right? If you're always doing something the same way, you're not opening a space for something new, because you think, oh, this works, why should I mess with it? It's not even about that. It's about creating a new energy that may fit better with where you are and the situation is at that time. You know, instead of going to what I've always done, you know, in the Einstein quote, you can't fix things with the same thinking that you did to create it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. That's very, very true.
Well, another part that I want to throw into the puzzle. Yeah, when you call it decluttering, I love that. I think this is what we're talking about is, you know, we started the year about really moving into creating your own happily ever after. Of course, you have to define what that looks like for you and in different parts of your life. And one way that you've got to do, you like gardening, which, and of course, you're so fabulous at, then when you go into a garden, and Ross and I did that recently, you have to go through and get out all the things that are not doing as well or maybe not in the right place anymore, maybe moving them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, so we're talking about physically decluttering, but I also, what comes to me is emotionally decluttering too. And when I'm working with somebody and they're kind of stuck, a lot of times have them do some anger work, and you can do that by you know, writing what you're upset about and shredding it, or you know, there's lots of ways to get anger out. But that where most people don't finish the process, it's good to do anger work, whatever, hitting pillows or you know, doing different things to get it out. But then you create this vacuum again that we talked about, this void. And it's really important to fill it with what you want, to fill it with love, fill it with support. If you don't do that, all that crap that you just released is going to come right back into that void.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's really what we're talking about with the echo, because it's that gap that's looking to get filled.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not used to the fact that, you know, you put a possibility out there and then it automatically wants to have an answer or whatever, well, you know, could you be in a place of allowing yourself to be spacious with that and just to see kind of what comes to you? We've been watching a show that's on ABC that's called
Saves the World.
Go ahead, Amy.
Kevin
Probably will save the world. And we both really enjoy that show because he's basically looking from a sign to a sign to a sign, all these, you know, magical things happen to him, and it's like he's just pulling the thread of what's going to happen to be able to help a person or whatever. And that's one of the things they talk about in that show with like an angels that are there to help him. It's just like, you know, we don't have the answers either, and we're just going by what we're in the moment to be guided to, and going from, you know, each event or each sign or whatever you want to call it, to be able to help or do what we need to do. And I think that's really a great way of looking at life. To me, it's really that way. It's just that, you know, depending on where we are and how we're wanting to set our intentions, those things are basically going to be pulling threads for us so we can go in the direction that we want to go. So I think that's really good. Along with that, too, is, you know, in looking at the echo, another aspect of that is something that can also sabotage us with that echo is inner dialogues, you know, different kinds of ways that we would sabotage ourselves with, whether it's us or another person. It's really kind of pulling into, like, you know, this is how I am and how I've always been, you know, those kind of ways that really limit our thinking and limit the, you know, it's almost like giving ourselves excuses for not being able to follow, you know, the fact that we have this passion and desire that we want to be having, but then we automatically go to our, you know, the safe zone, the safe, you know, sense of ourselves. And then also thinking, like, you know, this is the way it always turns out, like you're saying with Einstein. If I don't, you know, it's the same as the same kind of thing, unless I make a change. And then, you know, looking at, you know, what happened in my past is going to happen to me again, because that's what I've known, you know. So anything on that, Amy, I'd love for you to elaborate on that.
Well, and a lot of times when I'm supporting people, a lot of times people are at a, you know, stalemate in their life, their career, their relationship, and so they come to me to help them get unstuck. And a lot of times what I find is they come with me, the problem that they're coming to fix is a problem they think they know how to fix, that they can wrap their head around. And most of the time that has nothing to do with the real issue is. So we're back to, right, you're trying to think with that same old thinking. And then that's why people need to go to other people to support them, because I don't have your way of thinking. I can be open to, you know, other possibilities, and I don't have the ownership, and so I don't have to be tied to the ways that you used to do it. That's not my filters. So I can come from this place of really loving you and thinking, allowing yourself to come from another place. There's something a lot of times what you and I do is really organic. And what came to me, I ended up a friend of mine this morning. It said she wanted to go over the book Silence, Stillness Speaks by Eckhart Tolle. And so she was ordering it, and I said, well, I'll order it, and then we'll do our little mini book club together. And it was really kind of bugging me. I was like, well, that seems so strange that I don't have that book. It came out in 2003. So that's part of my organizing or whatever. I tore up the house, right, looking for this book, and I just found it a little bit ago. And I think there's something that I think pertains, and it's on page 23 of Stillness Speaks. It says, the artistic creation, sports, dance, teaching, counseling, mastery in any field of endeavor implies that the thinking mind is either no longer involved at all, or at least it's taking second place. A power and an intelligence greater than you, and you at one with you, is in essence takes over. There is no decision-making process anymore. Spontaneous right action happens, and you are not doing it. Mastery of life is the opposite of control.
Nice.
So I think that fits really nicely with this whole idea of the echo and laziness of doing what we've always done and that being open to expansion.
Right. And, you know, that's an aspect of actually I thought we were going to be talking about at the end of, you know, reviewing all this and talking about it. But, you know, it's the K-N-O-W. It's the number one positive thing is, you know, I'm in my knowing of something, not guessing, not saying maybe, but just like, I know this is what I need to do. And when you're in that creative space and you really trust the knowing and move yourself through that in this really organic way, boy, it's so satisfying, and it just seems so effortless. You know, it goes back to the, you know, you're working on something and you're just in the zone, and then you look up and it feels like you've only been doing it for half an hour and it's been 3 or 4 hours. You know, it's that kind of space that you get yourself into with the now. I think it's just so powerful and so satisfying to have that kind of activity on a regular basis. And, you know, that can be your new echo. That could be the echo of moving into that no and have it be something that's, you know, always coming back to you and supporting you and being that way. So I'd love for us to kind of move from, you know, some of the negative things that we have, or just, you know, and not even a negative, but it's just a matter of, like, you know, this is ways that I've seen it, and that because of my past experiences that I've encountered having that echo, but moving into ways that we can make it a positive and reinforcing thing. So just some of the things that I've really known. know for having it be changed and having it be that new perspective is willing to be spontaneous. And just like we're talking about with creativity and just any kind of activities where you're allowing yourself to be in that moment. And we've talked about that, gosh, forever on the show about, you know, being in the now, you know, and everybody's probably like, yeah, I hear about that all the time. But that, you know, in this moment, can I be really that much more open to just experiencing everything that's around me and being able to just be spontaneous and having, you know, the power of something, you know, being a little bit of a chaos agent and have it be, you know, a joy and chaos and all that. I think all that goes along with being spontaneous. So anything with that, Aim?
Yeah, I'd like to let's put, you know, some practicality in this. So what are some things, you know, that even you've done the last few days to be spontaneous and not be caught up in an echo that was from your past and creating an echo towards where you're choosing to be?
Well, I know for me personally, sometimes it's, you know, when I'm doing an activity, whether it's in the grocery store or, you know, just talking with someone, I just, you know, I'll get an idea or, you know, some different part of the conversation comes about. I know you and I do that a lot. I'll just have a new perspective come in and then we really just kind of start, you know, going down a different direction with topic or whatever. It can be just, you know, that really amazing when you've got that going on. So how about you?
Well, for instance, you and I were blessed to be able to have time together this weekend, and we really didn't have any plans. We had a couple things that we had to do, but we didn't have plans, and we ended up having the most amazing Sunday because somebody else was willing, our friend Ray, to be spontaneous with us, and we had a really amazing afternoon together, which we never saw coming, but we all allowed mm-hmm. ourselves to do some activities to really challenge our own beliefs and challenge who we are and what we want to do going in the future. But that never would have happened if we'd all adhered to, oh, no, you know, we have other things we have to do. We were all willing to let go of things we thought we were supposed to do on Sunday and allowed the three of us to come together and do some really fun practices together very spontaneously.
And, you know, even with those, and with those practices, it really created the show because of the way that we're looking at, you know, the things that have we felt like have hindered us in the past and what we were looking to change and being able to have this really wonderful conversation while we were, you know, just doing some practices and stuff together, which was great. Anything else with that being spontaneous?
No, I think that's good. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about the next point that I know you're leading into.
Yeah, so, you know, and along with spontaneity, having a willingness to be in play. There's so much research nowadays. There's just like with, you know, laughter and joy and some of the positive different interactions and stuff, it really helps us to be in creativity. They're finally getting to where we were looking at, you know, the science of play and how that's so beneficial for people. And, you know, there's been all kinds of studies done with people that, you know, people who have wound up having troubled adulthood when they were children, they really were denied having activities where they could do a lot of playtime. And yet you see people who don't really give that up as they get older. They kind of just change the way that looks. Just having activities with games and puzzles and just all different kinds of stuff, the level of creativity and spontaneity and interacting with people is just at a very high level that really can be very productive and successful, helping people to be able to be more in a place of being able to be spontaneous. So I think, you know, play is along with that. You know, we were talking with her, like we're saying, our friend Ray, and she's one of these people that's, you know, very business and making sure she takes care of things. And I was really encouraging her to go to a toy store and go buy a couple things to play with just because she could. And she, you know, she was delighted at the idea, but also making it to where, you know, you've got time where you can actually just enjoy the activity that's in front of you. And if you can be with another person, great. But the idea that, you know, it's just something fun that you can have for yourself, I think it's very much of a self-care thing that we're always wanting to be supporting as well.
Yeah, and it's really important that you, and it sounds crazy, but you play. When you're going to play, you need to plan. Plan to play. And part of that is have things around that make it easier to be playful. Like you and I will have toys and we'll have different things that help people, especially when it gets really serious. Like we had a rattle, the shape of a heart with a butterfly on it. It was really nice. But when it got really intense because we were doing some deep work, you would get the rattle out and start the rattle. And that would kind of became a symbol for us that, okay, we were taking it a little too heavy. Let's play. So having things around to make play easier, I think, is helpful.
Mm-hmm. We'd be, you know, playful with it. That makes it really, really fun. So, and
yeah,
you know,
play
with that too. Yeah, play as an attitude, and that's very important too. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, that is very important. Thank you for that. And then what's on that too is, you know, just like in a play, being able to ask for help. So it's that, you know, interaction with other people and knowing that you're in this collaboration of activities and just ideas and sharing yourself with another person, that, you know, it's so, and along that too is making sure that you've got people that are like-minded with you. You know, getting a group of people together that, you know, you all do want to play. You're willing to encourage one another to be spontaneous and what they could look like. So it's like being in a brainstorming session and nobody's ideas are shot down. Everybody's got the encouragement, like, we're all just going to keep putting things out there. And, you know, I was telling Ray, you know, those little blobs that you could throw on the wall and they kind of work their way down kind of thing, and they, like, stick on the wall and kind of, you know, work their way down. And I said, yeah, those are really great. And she's like, I've got to find one of those things.
Well, and it really brings the point. It's playful, and you can bring in spontaneity using them in a way that people don't see it coming, and it really brings the point across. It's visual, right? It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It'll really bring that point across.
You know, you see where one, you know, winds up wanting to walk, and, you know, it's helping you to point you in maybe a different direction you hadn't even thought about because you're willing to have a physical activity. Mm-hmm.
And you're saying you're asking for help. I mean, she didn't even know she was asking for help and how were some ways she could get a point across. But because we were in dialogue together and being vulnerable and being open, she was able to say, oh, she was able to get some support she didn't even know that she was asking for. And I think that's an important point. What I find in working with others, that I would say most of the time people don't ask for support from others because they don't know what support they need or even what support is possible for them to get. So I think a lot of times it's in that dialogue that, and I know there's been times when I needed support, but I really didn't know what that would look like, and that you and I would have a dialogue about, okay, what's going on? There's some kind of angst. I mean, you're at a kind of a stuck point. You know you need some help, but you don't really even know where to start. And so I think being able to have those people in your life that you can have that conversation, yeah, I need some support, but I don't even know what that would look like. And they can help you, you know, ferret through that.
Yeah, and you know, just like you, it's always, you know, and there doesn't have to be a lot of people. You know, usually just a small handful of people actually is better because it's that matter of, you know, and having those sacred conversations with people where, you know, this doesn't go any further than us, and it's helping people to walk through things that, like you said, I don't even know how to be able to look at it. There's just feels like there's something off here. You know, how can I walk through that to hopefully figure that out sometimes? And, you know, like you're saying, you know, we spent some time with Ray, and we're helping one another to, you know, get some new perspectives for the new year and being able to have some solutions as we move forward, which is always super fun. So that's great.
Well, I was talking to a good friend of mine. We talk every other Friday, and we've known each other for 20 years. And the last time we talked, she made a really interesting comment to me. She said, "You know me better than I know myself." And she asked me to support and understanding what she needed because of that, because I can see things that she can't see quite yet. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
sure.
That's why
it's like, you know,
those relationships. And meeting on an ongoing, regular basis, because they can help you kind of to keep up with yourself and to help you see where you could be going.
Well, and along with that, too, you know, like going back to that echo, they can see how we were bringing up those old ways of, you know, the old, you know, yeah, the old conversations, the old perspectives and things like that. And if we're understanding this whole idea of the echo, we can just say, well, gosh, you've done that 3 or 4 times. So let's look at that and say, you know, how do I break that cycle? Again, it could be just some simple little thing that you start being very mindful about and having it be something that you can just, you know, catch yourself with it. So one of the things that I thought was really great was an idea that, you know, you want to see it done in the past. So say, you know, you've got this idea of things you want to create, and then all of a sudden this echo comes up in just all the different ways that we talked about. You can see that idea that you came in the past and then you moved it forward and you took that action that made it positive. So somehow, for whatever reason, you know, in our minds, if we put something in the past and we can see that it's already done, it really helps us to almost catch up with ourselves to where that change can happen that much quicker. instead of thinking that it's real time and it's changing right now, it's kind of nice to have a little bit of a buffer there that really helps us too. And I've been kind of playing with that, and it's really kind of fun to look at that and know that, you know, here Amy lives in Las Vegas, and I was seeing myself winning like a royal flush and had all these things happening, and for whatever reason that didn't happen. But I did have a great weekend, and, you know, I think I got a royal flush in other ways. It didn't necessarily have to be in the casino, so that's okay. So
exactly.
How about you, Amy?
Well, and when a lot of, for several days, you and I were in that conversation about, oh, wasn't it cool that, this happened 10 days ago or that happened 10 days ago, and really fine-tuning. It's a skill. So it's about working on that skill. And so I think it'll take practice and creating that echo for the people around you, but you need to know what you need to echo to them. So like you're saying,
right.
We're back to having those conversations, helping them see the support they need, and then making that conversation about, you know, that visioning and about, you know, that being spontaneous and helping them to see when they're being spontaneous, when they're not. And what we're all working towards, well, I don't know, all is probably, that we're talking to a lot of our seekers on Transformation Cafe are about moving from that thinking to that coming from the heart, living in stillness. Like Eckhart Tolle talks about living in the now, which if you're in the now, you're not in your mind, you are in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, it's really having that conversation where you've talked about it already being done and you're being mm-hmm. playful about it and talking about how it is now, even though it necessarily hasn't happened. It's having the conversation like it already has, and you know, everybody's encouraging one another to be, you know, coming from that, you know, tense when it comes to the conversation. I think it's really fun. So along with this, is, I think one thing that's important, like we're talking about with, being in the moment with the power of the now and all that, is just taking, it could be 2 or 3 seconds that you really allow yourself to just clear your mind and not have any mental chatter going on. In 2 seconds, you know, it's just, you know, let me just focus on my breath and maybe at ease and flow, and then allowing your mind to just kind of go to a spacious place. And with this echo, it really helps you to just have these little gaps where you're allowing yourself to just have not thinking, going into your heart and being in your heart instead of your head. It really can help you pretty quickly once you start practicing it, that, you can start moving and catching yourself from all these different, you know, negative things and making them positive. So I think that can work out really well. So anything with a meditation, Amy?
Yeah, what I would recommend is that a practice to start is to attempt to be in silence for a minute a day, and if build it up that you can do that, you know, longer. But you know, even a minute, if you're not used to being in silence and in stillness, can be a really crazy, crazy place. It's not like you're trying to make something happen. You're not meditating. You're just being quiet. Does that make sense? I don't think most people have ever been in true stillness and true quiet and true silence. So just, you know, maybe you can do longer than that, but try a minute a day for the next week and see what happens.
You know, I think a great exercise with that is, you know, imagine yourself sitting in a forest and you're just being with the forest for a second. You know, you can hear the wind going through the trees, and you're just there really being present with the forest. I think hopefully everybody can have that experience, and take yourself to a park or something like that. We could just be outside for a little bit. I think that's a great way of slowing yourself down, kind of being with nature. That'll help you to be able to, you know, be able to let go of, you know, the things that, you know, we've talked about before. You know, let go of how you think it should be and allow things. You know, what if I were totally open to any possibilities coming to me, knowing that it's for my good? And just seeing what can happen with that. So, and then along with that, I think one important thing that makes it that much more for everybody is we're talking about, you know, decluttering and having things where we have some space, is making sure that, you know, we're detoxing the mind, we're watching our mind chatter, but we're also working on the body, you know, making sure we're hopefully eating and, you know, eating good, clean foods, and we've got, you know, good water and things like that, exercising, and really supporting ourselves with our spirit as well. So it's just kind of a detox from all the different ways of catching ourselves when we've got any kind of negativity that could be holding us back, and that's something that can influence the overall echo, and, you know, it's coming back to us more in a positive way as opposed to a negative. So anything with that, Amy?
Royal flush, royal flush, royal flush. an echo.
Yeah, echo. So, you know, I just love this idea. I think it's so powerful. And, gosh, like I said, everybody that we've shared it with, it just really resonated with us. So I hope this has been just a really good conversation for our cafe and all of our diners. And, you know, really let us know what you guys are thinking about it. We'd love to hear your questions, your comments, anything with that. And we're looking forward to we're going to be getting into, you know, loving having the relationship that you want with yourself. So that's going to be our first book in the cafe book club. So I think it's going to be a wonderful thing, and we'll be having a special show on that. So I encourage you guys to be checking that out. And Amy, you want to give them a little bit of information on the book?
Well, I don't know much other than I love the Hendrix work. And so I think it's going to be really fabulous. So stay tuned. Well, next week we're going to talk about some ideas about it, and then we'll get started on the club, that following week.
Yeah, and it's a 25th or 25-year anniversary, or
I'm not sure. I can't. I have the 20th anniversary copy, but I can't remember when it came out, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, so it came out. It came out in the early 90s. So it's one of those things that, you know, the truth is the truth, and when it comes to being able to look at that for yourself and being able to walk through that. You know, and having your beloved be yourself first, you can be available for, you know, anyone else in relationships. And we just really felt that would be a great way of starting the new year. So, again, with that, you know, look forward to having you guys jump on board for that and be looking forward to the show. So, well, as always, Miss Amy, thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we want to thank all of our diners for joining us as well. So we will see you next week here at the cafe. Thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.